The Dreaming Void by Peter F. Hamilton, read by Toby Longworth. Prologue. The starship Cyane Caragana slipped down out of a night sky, its grey and scarlet hull illuminated by the pale iridescence of the massive ion storms which beset space for light-years in every direction. Beneath the deep space vessel, Centurion Station formed a twinkling crescent of light on the dusty rock surface of its never-named planet. Crew and passengers viewed the enclave of habitation with a shared sensation of relief. Even with the hyperdrive powering them along at 15 light-years an hour, it had taken 83 days to reach Centurion Station from the Greater Commonwealth. This was about as far as any human travelled in the mid-34th century, certainly on a regular basis. From his couch in the main lounge, Inigo studied the approaching alien landscape with a detached interest. What he was seeing was exactly as the briefing files projected months ago, a monotonous plain of ancient lava rippled with shallow gullies that led nowhere. The thin argon atmosphere stirred the sand in short-lived flurries, chasing wispy swirls from one dune to another. It was the station which claimed his real attention. Now they were only 20 kilometers from the ground, the lights began to resolve into distinct shapes. Inigo could easily pick out the big garden dome at the centre of the human section on the northernmost segment of the inhabited crescent. A lambent emerald circle, playing hub to a dozen black transport tubes that ran out to large accommodation blocks which could have been transplanted from any exotic environment resort in the Commonwealth. From those, the tubes carried on across the lava to the cube-like observatory facilities and engineering support modules. The pocked land to the south belonged to the alien habitats, shapes and structures of various geometries and sizes, most of them illuminated. Next to the humans were the silver bubbles of the hominoid Gallant, followed by the enclosed grazing grounds where the Tykoth roamed amid their food herds. Then came the mammoth interconnecting tanks of the Suline, an aquatic species. The featureless Ethox Tower rose up 10 kilometers past the end of the Suline's metal-encased legs, dark in the visible spectrum, but with a surface temperature of 180°C. They were one of the species which didn't interact with their fellow observers on any level except for formal exchanges of data concerning the probes which orbited the void. Equally taciturn were the Forlene, who occupied 5 big domes of murky crystal that glowed with a mild gentian light. And they were positively social compared to the Kandra, who lived in a simple metal cube 30 meters to a side. No Kandra ship had ever landed there since the humans joined the observation 280 years ago. Not even the exceptionally long-lived Jadradesh had seen one, and the Ra'il had invited those boulder-like swamp dwellers to join the project 7,000 years earlier. A small smile flickered on Inigo's face as he took in all the diverse zones. It was impressive to see so many aliens physically gathered in one place, a collection which served to underline the importance of their mission. Though, as his view strayed out to the shadows thrown by the station, he had to admit that the living were completely overshadowed by those who had passed on before them. Centurion Station's growth and age could be loosely measured in the same way as any humble terrestrial tree. It had developed in rings, which had been added to over the centuries as new species had joined the project. The broad circle of land along the concave side of the crescent was studded with ruins, crumbling skeletons of habitats abandoned millennia ago as their sponsoring civilizations fell, or moved on, or evolved away from mere astrophysical concerns. Right at the center, the ancient structures had decayed to simple mounds of compacted metal and crystal flakes, beyond the ability of any archaeologist to decipher. Dating expeditions had established that this ancient heart of the station had been constructed over 400,000 years ago. Of course, as far as the timescale of the Ra'il observation was concerned, that was still short. A ring of green light was flashing on the lava field which served as a spaceport for the human section, calling down the Cyane Caragana. Several starships were sitting on the drab rock beside the active landing zone, 2 hefty deep space vessels of the same class as the Caragana, and some smaller starships used for placing and servicing the remote probes that constantly monitored the void. There was a slight judder as the starship settled, then the internal gravity field switched off. Inigo felt himself rise slightly.